Today's daf is Bav Matzia, daf Lamed Zayin. We are holding on daf Lamed Vav and Beis, about 15 lines before the end of the page. We were right in the middle of a discussion where you have a case where a person didn't properly lock up an animal, and then it was Mesa Kadarka. The animal got out, but it didn't die from getting out. It was Mesa Kadarka, it just dropped dead. So we had a machlokas, whether you're going to be chayiv, and we said that machlokas is regardless of what you hold about Tchilas B'Shia V'Sofa Ba'onas. So the Gemara is going to try to bring a raya in that machlokas from the discussion that we had about Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer and how Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer relates to our Mishnah. Then we're going to go back and discuss whether Rabbi Yossi had said that Ketzar Halos Hischaru B'Parasa Shel Chaveiro, that it should never be that you should be able to make money off of somebody else's para. So the Gemara is going to wonder, does Rabbi Yossi hold the same thing when it comes to the first Mishnah in the Parak, where the guy had paid off, instead of taking a shavua and being exempt, he decided to pay for it. Now he's going to get kefel with someone else's para. Does Rabbi Yossi also have a problem with that? How can you get kefel with someone else's para? And if Rabbi Yossi does have a problem with that, how do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rabbi Yossi in that case as well? Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph, on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, is going to discuss cases where you have money that you know doesn't belong to you, but you're not sure who it belongs to. You stole from somebody, you don't know who you stole from, you want to give it back, but you know it's one of two people, you're not sure which guy it is. Someone gave you a pikadon, you're not sure which guy gave you a pikadon, so you don't know what to do with the money. So the Mishnah is going to discuss what to do in that kind of case. The Gemara is going to ask that there's a stira within our Mishnah about being motzi mamon misafek. Would we make someone pay when there's a safek and we're not sure who he should pay to? It seems that there's a stira in our Mishnah. The Gemara is then going to ask that there's an additional stira in Rabbi Tarfon's Shita in Shas, what you do when you aren't sure who you stole from. We have what he says in our Mishnah, and we have what he says somewhere else. So it's all about this type of situation. You know that you have money that doesn't belong to you, you don't know who it does belong to. The Gemara is going to explain the notion of maniach gzeila beinehem, the possibility that when there are two people that you may have stolen from or that you may owe the money to, just put it down in between them. What exactly does that mean, maniach gzeila beinehem? Why is that okay? And what are the circumstances where we would say that one should do that? And then on Amud Beis, we're going to ask Astira and Shitas Rabbi Akiva whether we are motzi mamon misafik. Do we take money away from somebody when it is a safik whether he owes the money? We have Astira and what Rabbi Akiva holds throughout Shas. Toward the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to discuss how much of an expectation do we have of the Shomer to know who gave him what. When someone gives something to watch, do you have to keep in mind who gave it to you, or do you assume that people are going to be honest and whoever gave it to you is going to come? So when do we expect the Shomer to know? When do we not expect the Shomer to know? So let's begin. We're way up on the page, still about 15 lines before the end of the page. On Daf Lamed Vav and Beis, we had this machlokas. What happens if you leave an animal that's kept in your care? You leave it unlocked, and therefore you were somewhat negligent in your shmira. It gets out, and it dies on its own. It's Mesa Kedarka. Are you chayiv, or are you pater? So Rava had said that you're pater, because malachamavas malihacha malihasam. It died on its own. So you know what would have happened if you would have locked it up properly and you would have guarded it properly? It would have died of the same heart attack. So it doesn't make any difference that you didn't lock it up. Whereas Abaye says, do you know that for sure? It escaped to an agam somewhere. Maybe the havla, the agma katla, maybe the thick air of the agam is what did it in. That's what killed it. Samle Abaye l'Rava, Abaye says Rava, l'di doch ta'amrit malacham avas maliach maliasam, according to you who say that it was going to die anywhere, wherever it was. Remember, we had a question in yesterday's daf where Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel asked on Rabbi Ami from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah had said that if you give an animal to, you rent an animal out to a socher, he then gives it, he then lends it out to a shoel. So what happens if it dies in a way where the shoel would be chayiv and the socher would be pater? That it could be that the shoel is going to pay the money to the socher, the socher is going to take a shavua to the bailim, and he won't have to pay anything. But wait a second, we had asked that according to Rabbi Yochanan, shomer shemasar l'shomer is chayiv, that whenever you're entrusted with something, you may not give it off to somebody else to watch. So shouldn't you automatically be chayiv? We had asked. Vishanile, so we answered, Rabbi Ami answered, Bishnosna Bailum Rishus Lahashil, that the case must have been that initially, as part of the rental, he was allowed to lend it out to other people. And that's why it's not a typical case of Shomer Shmos L'Shomer. But it says the Gemara, Vilemele, says Abaye to Rava, according to you, what Rabbi Ami should have answered is that since it was Mesa Kedarka, there's no Taina. You can't have any Taina on me if it was Mesa Kedarka. Malach Amavis, Maliha. What difference does it make to you that I lent it out to somebody else? What would have happened had I not lent it out to somebody else? I would have had it in my possession and it still would have died. So it doesn't make any difference. So according to your Svara Rava, that should have been the answer. So Amar Lei, Rava responds, you know what? That could have been the answer if there was a question to begin with. The fact that we're assuming there was a question makes a major assumption about why Shomer Shemasa Shomer is a problem. Remember yesterday we had two different explanations why you would hold that Shomer Shemasa Shomer is Chayiv. One explanation is Ein Ritzoni Shei Piktoni Biyad Acher. I don't like the idea that my pikad that I'm trusting you with it. I don't like the idea that it's going to be by somebody else. The other possibility, though, is no, if the other person is going to do a better shmira, I don't have a problem with that. My problem is if it ever comes to a shvua, I don't trust him to give a shvua. I trust you to give a shvua. So says Rava, when do you have a kasha? Only if you assume the first way. If the concern of Shomer Shemasa Shomer is that the guy just doesn't want someone else watching it, so your kasha was a good kasha. What's going on in our Mishnah where the socher is giving it to his shoel? Don't you know the Bailim may not trust that shoel? So then we had a good kasha, and then Einochinami, we could have answered like you said, but Lididi, but I don't think that's the real reason of Shomer Shemos L'Shomer. Da'amina Ant mehemnet li b'shua veheichlo mehem li b'shua. But according to me, you know why Shomer Shemos L'Shomer is a problem? Because the Bailim is only trust the person he gave it to take a shavua. He doesn't trust the other guy to take a shavua. Well, then lekalos v'klal. Then there's no kasha. Why in our Mishnah there's no problem of Shomer Shemos L'Shomer? Of course there's no problem. Who's taking the shavua to the Bailim in our Mishnah? It's the guy that he rented it to that's taking the shavua. That was the case in our Mishnah, that the shoel is going to pay the socha. The socher is going to take a shavua to the bailim, so the socher is still the one taking the shavua, and therefore never. Rava says you're right. If there would have been a kasha, the answer should have been malachamavas maliacha maliasam. But there never was a kasha according to me, because I don't think that was a typical case of shomer shemosa l'shomer. Masav Rami Bar Chama. So Rami Bar Chama asks the following: Hela l'rashi tzukin. Let's say a person is supposed to be guarding an animal, he brings it to the top of a cliff, of a very narrow cliff, v'nafla, and it falls off and it dies. Einza onus. That is not called onus. That is pshia, because it's likely to die in such circumstances. V'chayiv, and therefore you're going to be chayiv. So it sounds like hamesa kedarka. Let's say it didn't fall. Let's say it just had a heart attack while it was on the top of the cliff. So it sounds like hareza onus upater. That's going to be considered an onus, and you're going to be pater, even though you brought it to this extremely dangerous area. So you were negligent with it, and it died. But it died there of natural causes. So you're going to be pater, presumably because malachamavas maliacham aliasam, like Rava says. So ask the Gemara on Abaye va'amai. According to you, Abaye, why should he be potter? Lemele avir da har katala inami uvtsina da har katala. You know, you, Abaye, you said that I don't know that the Malach HaMavis would have killed it had you not been negligent. Maybe it was the Havla Diagma that killed it. Well, over here also, maybe it was the thin air at the mountaintop that killed it. Maybe it was the exhaustion of the journey up the mountain that killed it. So according to Abaye, you should not be potter. Answer the Gemara, hachamai askin. Now he didn't bring it there stam. It was not a pshia in bringing it there. He brought it there because that's where there's good grazing, so it was ultimately better for the animal. So frekling mari hachli naflanami. So then even if it falls, he should be potter. Says Mar, no, shayla l'tokfa v'lo t'kofa. If you're bringing it to the top of a cliff somewhere, it's true that maybe you're allowed to bring it there, but you got to be careful when you do. He should have grabbed onto it, and he didn't hold onto it to make sure it doesn't fall. Ihachi emereshev. That's the case, that he didn't hold onto it so well, and that's considered a psh- Shia. So the Reisha says also the Rashi Tzukin V'Nafla Hareza Ones, that if that if it goes on its own, you didn't bring it there, it goes on its own and it falls, that's considered an Ones in your Pater, because the going up was Mutter. The Pshia was that he should have held on, but if you're going to say that there's Pshia and holding on to it, that he didn't hold on to it, even when it goes up on its own, it's still Poshea, because he still should have held on to it once it was up there. So says Gemara Lo Tzricha, the Reish is talking about a case, Shetekfaso Va'olsa, Takfaso V'yarda, that the behemoth was stronger than the guy. He was holding on to it, trying to stop it. You ever see people walking their dogs? Sometimes the owner's walking the dog, sometimes the dog's walking the owner. Sometimes the animal's stronger than the person, so he's holding on to the animal, and the animal's yanking him up to the top of this cliff. So that's not considered a pshia, that he couldn't hold on to it. Good. So then the Mishnah said, Amar Biyosi, Ketra Laschara B'Paraso Shel Chavero. He says that it has to be that you just return the para to the Bailim. It can't be that you're going to make money off of the fact that you rented someone else's cow and then loaned it to someone else, that the guy you loaned it to is going to pay you and you're going to make money off of someone else's cow. So says Gemara, Amar Avidom Shmuel, Halach Krabiosi, we pass from like Krabiosi. Can't be you're going to make money off of someone else's cow. Amar Leir Shmuel Bar Yudah Rav Yudah, Amar Shmeid Shmuel, Chalak Hayor Krabiosi Af Barishona. Now Krabiosi disagreed even with the first Mishnah in this parak. We had that first Mishnah where a guy was a Shomer Chinam and there was a Gnev Vaveda, so he could have just easily taken a Shavua that he wasn't Poshea and been Pater, but he decided instead he's just going to pay for it. And then we find the Ganev. So what happens? We said in our Mishnah that the Shomer gets the Kefil payment. So Rabbi Yossi would disagree with that also. I'm going to accept a kefil payment for an animal that wasn't mine. I was just a shomer on the animal. No, I can't make money off of someone else's animal. Rabbi Yossi would disagree with that as well. So we want to know halacha kamoso ein halacha kamoso. Do we paskin like Rabbi Yossi in the machlokas on the first mission as well? That Rabbi Yossi would disagree even in that case. And we paskin like him, even in that case, even in the case where you decided to pay instead of taking the shvur and you're accepting the kefil payment. Itmar nami, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Cholak hayu Rabbi Yossi af parishona, v'alacha kamoso af parishona. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, moda hayu Rabbi Yossi parishona, shekvar shileim. But Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan says that there was no machlokas recorded in the first Mishnah because Rabbi Yossi did not disagree in the first Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi would agree that you're allowed to take the kefil payment because once you paid for it, that makes it yours. In the first Mishnah, you paid for it. It wasn't stam that you were a shomer who was taking advantage of your possession of the animal to make money off of it or to benefit from it. No, you paid for it. Once you paid for it, of course it's yours, says Rabbi Yochanan. So it sounds like, just parenthetically, the Gemara says, sounds like Rabbi Yochanan says the only reason you're allowed to take the kefil is because you actually paid for it. But remember, we had a whole discussion that you don't have to actually pay for it. All you need to do is commit to pay for it. Shilem in, lo shilem lo. Sounds like only because you paid for it, but if you didn't pay for it, you would not be entitled to the kefil. But it wasn't Rabbi Yochanan himself who said, lo shilem shilem mamash, el kivin sha'amar, hareini mishalim af pli shalo shilem, that you don't have to actually pay. Just saying that hareini mishalim is good enough. So ema modai haya Rabbi Yossi b'rishona shekvar amar hareini mishalim. So we have to adjust Rabbi Yochanan's wording a little bit. Rabbi Yochanan said, I think Rabbi Yossi would not disagree in the first Mishnah. I think the first Mishnah there's no machlokas because, not because he already paid, but because he's already said he's going to pay. And that's enough to make it his to entitle him to the kefil. The commitment to pay for the animal is enough to entitle him to the kefil. Okay, new Mishnah now. Now this Mishnah is going to deal with, as we said before, cases where you have somebody's money, but you're not sure whose money you have. What do you do with that money? Amar l'shnayim gazalti lechem michem mana. A guy says to two people, I know that I stole from one of you. I stole $100 from one of you. I don't remember which one I stole the money from. I got $100, doesn't belong to me. I don't know which one of you to give it to. O aviv shel echad michem hifkid li mana ve'in yodea ezuhu. Or one of your fathers gave me a pikadon of money, and I don't know which one of your fathers gave it to me. So I don't know which one of you are the yarshim of this money. So halacha is, says the Tanakam, nosin lezemana shahodim piatzmo. Since he's modim piatzmo, so he's trying to do the right thing, the Gemara is going to explain that he's trying to be yotzei de shemayim, so he should give each guy $100. He should pay another $100 out of pocket and give both guys the money, and that way he could have a clear conscience. Shnayim shefkidu etzel echad zemana vezemasayim. If two people gave a pikadon to one guy, to one shomer, one of them gave $100, the other one gave $200. Ze'omer shalim asayim, ve'ze'omer shalim asayim. The guy who's watching the money doesn't remember who gave him what. Each one is claiming to be the one that gave him $200. Nosin lezemana lezemana, v'ashar yemunachat she'avar Eliyahu. So here's what he knows. He knows for sure that each guy is owed $100. So give what you know for sure. Give $100 to each fellow. What do you do with the third $100? Leave it aside, Achiyavu Eliyahu. No one's getting it right now because you don't know who to give it to. Amar Rav Yossi says, I don't like that because in Cain, ma hifsid haramai. What does the ramai lose out? What is the guy who lied lose out? Meaning, if I'm only owed $100, might as well claim that I'm owed $200. Worst comes to worst, I'm not going to get $200, but I'll still get my $100 back, so I'm not going to lose anything by lying. So says Rav Yossi, you know, we have to impose some sort of penalty on the person who lied so that we will discourage such lying. Rather, we leave everything aside. We leave everything aside until Eliyahu comes. Now the Gemara is going to explain that we're talking about that the two guys gave the pikadon zeh b'fnei zeh, that they both gave the money in front of each other. So what they had done by giving the money in front of each other is show that they trust each other. That if I'm willing to give my $200 in front of you, it means that I trust that you're not going to claim the $200 because now you have some inside information that you know this guy has $200 doesn't belong to him. So you might come and claim it. Obviously, I trusted you. And that's why it's not the shomer's responsibility to keep track of who gave him what, because they gave it in front of each other. They didn't care. And that's the chilek between this and the previous case of the Mishnah, where he said, just pay everybody in the previous case of the Mishnah. How come we're not saying, just pay everybody over here? Give both guys $200. No, because over here, it's their fault. They trusted each other. In the previous case of the Mishnah, it wasn't zeh b'fnei zeh. That's how the Gemara is going to explain. So because he did the right thing, so he's not chayav latzis yidei shemayim. He didn't do anything wrong. He's only chayav latzis yidei shemayim in something that he did something wrong where he's got to make up for it. However, there are deos in the Rishonim that if the guy wants to be latzis yidei shemayim, even in this case, he should give everybody the $200 because the Gemara Masechta Bava Kama talks about someone's tovei chavero manali biyadcha. Someone says you owe me $100. The other guy says, Eini yodea. I don't know. I don't know if I owe you the money. Rav Huna says you have to pay. Bari v'shema bari yadiv. He says you owe him the money. You don't know, so you actually might. Bari v'shema bari yadiv. You got to pay. Rav Nachman says no. You're pater. Uki mamona b'cheskas mare. There's a chazaka. We paskin like Rav Nachman that you're pater. But the Gemara over there says that even Rav Nachman, who says that you're pater, lotzei sidei shemayim, you should pay. Now, because the guy's saying that you owe him the money. So is it your fault that you you don't know? No, it could be that you never lent him the money, that you never borrowed the money. So it's not necessarily your fault that you don't know. And still we see there's a chi of lotzei sidei shemayim, because they're coming with a tainas bari. So say a group of Rishonim, the same thing should apply over here. They're coming with a tainas bari, so still there should be a chiyuv latzei sidei shemayim. So although from our Mishnah it does, and our sugya alone, I would agree with Tosfos and the Ramban, say this other group of Rishonim, that it would sound like you don't have to be latzei sidei shemayim, but these deos that are quoted by the Ramban, quotes such a day of the Ran and others, that you have to be latzei sidei shemayim is based off of that sugya in Maseches Bava Kama. So that's why there's machlokas Rishonim over here, whether even in this case one has to be latzei sidei shemayim. Now you'll recall this Mishnah may sound familiar because it came up at the very beginning of the Masechta. The Masechta started out with Shnayim Ochsim B'Talis. Two people holding on to a Talis. Zomer, kula shali, v'zo omer kula shali. They're both claiming that the talus belongs to them. So the Gemara says, how come by shnei mochzim the talus? What do we say? We say cholkim. We say that we split it. Why don't we say yemunachat shiavo Eliyahu? Meaning over here, it's very similar. Each guy is saying that pikadon, that's mine. That money, that extra $100, that's mine. And we're saying yemunachat shiavo Eliyahu. So why by the shnei mochzim the talus don't we say yemunachat shiavo Eliyahu? So the Gemara explains on way back on Daf Gimel that the chiluk is that by the talus it could be that it actually does belong to both of them because it could be that they both picked it up at the same time. So min hadin, it actually does belong to both of them and they actually should split it. So since that's a real possibility, but over here there's no way that that the correct halacha is to split the third $100 that each guy is owed. No, you definitely took $200 from one guy and $100 from the other guy. You didn't take $150 from each. So there's no way that the correct halacha, you can't do something that you know is not correct. That was how the Gemara explained. So there is a machlokas between the tur and the shach, based on that Gemara, if the din of Yemunach is dafka when they're tovea bari, when each one when the people are claiming that we know you owe the money, so since one of them is lying, that's why Yemunach. But if they're not tovea bari and no one is lying, it's just that we don't know who to give it to because no one knows, no one remembers. So then maybe you would split the third $100, or do we say that no, even if nobody knows, you'd still split the third $100? What are they arguing about? So the Ktos explains. When the Gemara says you only split it when it's possible that that's the truth, like by the talus, where there could be that it belongs to both of them, so that would be, you'd split it even if one of them is lying. So you can't say that that yachloku when they're not tovea, because the chaluka can't be. Meaning the issue is, what's the reason not to be cholik? Is the reason not to be cholik because it can't possibly be emes, or is the reason not to be cholik because we want to punish somebody who's lying? We can't make it that someone who's lying is going to make some extra money. So if the reason not to be cholik is that it can't possibly be MS, well, over here also it can't possibly be MS that each one is owed $150. But if the reason not to be cholik is because somebody here is lying, well, what if nobody's lying? Everyone's just saying, no, and we don't remember. I don't remember if I gave you $100. I don't remember if I gave you $200. So then maybe you should taka be cholik. That's a machlokas between the Torah and the Shach. Says the Mishnah further, v'chein shnei kelim. It's not only about money. Also, if you have kelim, echad yafa mana ve'echad yafa elav zuz. One of them is worth $100, the other one's worth $1,000. Zomer yafa shali, zomer yafa shali. Each guy saying, yeah, mine is the $1,000 kli. Nosin as a katan lechemen. So give the $100 kli to whichever one of them. Umitoch hagadol nosin demei katan l'sheni. And from the larger kli, give the value of a smaller kli to the second guy, meaning everyone should have, at the end of the day, $100 worth of something in their possession. And what do you do with the extra $900 of kli? Vashar yemunach hashiav Eliyahu. The rest you have to leave aside until Eliyahu Navi comes. Rabbi Yossi Imkein, my hipster Ramay. Again, Rabbi Yossi says, I have a problem with that because the guy who lied loses nothing. The guy who lied is owed $100 and he gets his full $100. Ela kol yemunach hashiav Eliyahu. So everyone's going to have to be punished in order to make sure, in order to discourage people from lying. We set it all aside at Shiav Eliyahu. There is a machlok to show what it means. Mitoch hagadol nosin to make katan l'sheni. What exactly does that mean? Some one person gave me this cheap little recorder that's worth whatever, $20. Someone else gave me an iPhone that's worth I don't know what an iPhone's worth, $500, let's say. So what? I'm supposed to do what with the iPhone? So each guy is going to get $20 worth of, so this guy's going to get the recording. What do I do with it? So there's machlokes rishonim. Do you sell it and give $20 from the sale to him, or do you break off a piece of the iPhone that's actually worth $20? Meaning there might be some part that you can break off that's going to be worth $20, and that's what it means. From the kli itself, you give him $20. Rashi writes that you sell it, that you shover as a gadol, rather, that you break it and you give him a broken piece. That's not that you sell it. Why not to sell it? So the Rashi ben Ran explained that Rashi's trying to say not to sell it because the Gemara is going to say that the case is that there's a hefsid to the Bala Gadol, that by doing this solution, the guy who owns the larger kli is losing out. Yeah, so if you're breaking it, you understand why he's losing out, because he's not going to have that big kli, he's no longer going to exist. However, the Rashba and the Ran say, no, you're not breaking it. You're selling it. It's a hefsid because people like to have their own kli back. And now he's not going to get his own kli back. He's getting money for the kli, which is nice, but he would rather have his actual kli back. And that's why the Gemara is going to call this a hefsid. Says the Gemara, going back to the first case in our Mishnah, you say to two people, I know I stole from one of you. I don't know which one I stole from. So the halacha was, that nosin lezeman lezeman, you give each one $100. You give them both $100. Alma misfekam afkinin mon of lamrin ukin mon of bechaskas mare. So it sounds from our Mishnah that even though you're mesupak, we make you pay. That you have to you lose money when it's a safek, and we don't say, oh, you're muchzak in the money, so you get to keep it. Ura minhi, but I'll ask you stira shneim shevkidu etzalechad zeman of zemasayim. Two people give a pikadon to one guy from our very Mishnah. Two people give a pikadon to one guy. This guy gave $100. This guy gave $200. Zomer shlimasayim, zomer shlimasayim. Each one claims to be the one that gave $200. No sin lezeman lezeman of ashayim nuchatshiav eliyahu. We say when you're mesupak, we don't take away the money from you. We say that you put it aside at shiav eliyahu. Why don't we say you pay $200 to each guy, just like we said in the reisha that you pay $100 to each person you might have stolen from? So says Gemara, how can you ask that question? I'm le pikadon agazel karamis. You can ask a difference between when you got the money by stealing it versus when you got the money because it was entrusted to you as a pikadon. Gezel David Isura Kansur Rabbanan. By Gezel you did an Isser, so the Rabbanan are going to make a knas on a person that you're going to have to pay extra. Pikadon David Isura Lo Kansur Rabbanan. But when it was given to you as a pikadon, so then we're not going to make a knas on such a person. Tosa Rush asks a very fundamental question. He says, is that our general attitude? That when a person is Gozel, that we make a knas and we make him pay more if he wants to set things straight? Don't we generally have a concept called Takanas HaShavim? That what do we have? The Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us, if you steal a beam, you steal building material, and you build it into your house. So now the only way to do the Heshavas Agzela is to break apart your entire house, take out the beam, give it back. So we make a Takana, you don't have to do Heshavas Agzela. You could just pay the value of the beam. So we make things easier on the Gazel, because we want it to be easier for him to do tshuva. So says the Rosh, no, the chilik is that in a case where the nigzal is not going to lose out because he's going to get the value of his beam anyway, that's where we make a takanas hashav and we make a takanas marish. But if the nigzal is going to lose out by the fact that we're trying to be easy on you, so then we're not easy on you, then we're extra strict on you. That's the chilik between the two cases. But says Gemara, can you really answer our whole Mishnah by just saying that the difference is pikadon versus gezel, that whenever it's gezel, then you got to pay both guys? When it's pikadon, then you don't have to pay both guys. Not true. Verami pikadon a pikadon. I could ask you a stira within pikadon itself. Verami gezel a gezel, and I can ask you a stira within the dinim of gezel. Pikadon a pikadon. I can ask you a stira in the dinim of pikadon from our Mishnah itself. To katani reisha, the reisha where we said you have to pay both guys wasn't only a case of gezalti lechem mechem mana. It was also a case of Aviv shel echad michem hivkid limana. The Katani Reisha, O Aviv shel echad michem hivkid etzli mana ven yodei ezu, nosan lezemana lezemana. In the Reisha it said that even if you don't know which guy's father gave you a pikadon of a mana, you have to pay both guys. Urimin hi shnayim shevkidu, but that's against the next part of our Mishnah where we said that if two people gave you, one of them gave you 100, the other one gave him 200, gave you 200, you don't have to pay 200 to both guys. And the, both of those are about pikadon. Samarava Reisha nasa kemish. In the ratio, we consider it your fault. You should have known. You should have known who gave, which father gave you the item, and that's why you have to pay back. Because it's like you were given two separate packages where you should easily be able to keep track. But Seifa, in the case of the Seifa, where one guy gave you 100, the other guy gave you 200, Nas Kemishev Kidu Lo Bekrach Echad, Dolav Le Medak. It's like it was all one big package where it wasn't your responsibility to keep track of it. How is it like it was one big package? Because they both gave it to you at the same time, right in front of each other. Damar Lahu, you could easily say to them, look, Antku Fayu Lo Kaptisu Adadi. You obviously trusted each other by giving it in front of each other, so you weren't makbar each other. Ant kapidna, so I'm supposed to be the one. Ant kapidna, I'm supposed to be the one who keeps track. You guys didn't care, so why should I keep track of who gave me what? So that's why in the Seifa he's absolved of any guilt. It wasn't the shomer's responsibility to know who gave him what. So from the Gemara, if you're given two krichos, if you're actually given two separate packages, then you're supposed to know who gave you what. The Rambam, when he quotes this halacha in Shelut Kodin Perikei Halacha Dalit, writes that he was negligent because he didn't write the name of each person on each kiss, on each wallet that the money came in. He should have written it. So that goes. So she says, apparently you don't need a siman on the money itself. The siman on the wallet is good enough, and you don't have to assume that maybe for some reason you'll switch the money out. But the sma is medaktik even further in the Rambam. The Rambam says he's poshea because he didn't write the money on each wallet. Why not just write the name on each wallet? Why not just write the name on one of them? And the other one belongs to the other guy. Why would you have to write the name on each wallet? So the Sma says, yeah, it's Pshia if you don't write the name on each. Because what happens if you lose the one that has the name on it? So you're not going to remember whose name was on the lost one, and now you have a wallet with no name on it. So it's Pshia if you don't write the name on each. That's how the Sma is medayik from the Rambam. Says the Gemara of Rami Gezel HaGezel, third wide line. I can ask you a theory even within the world of Gezel. Katani hacham l'shem gezalti lechem micham anavein yodeh ezimichem. Oh, avisha lechem micham hifkidim anavein yodeh ezimichem. In the case of the Reish of our Mishnah, you stole from somebody, you don't know who you stole from, pay them both. You got to pay them both. Uriminhi, but I'll ask you, Stira, Gazal Echad Mechamisha. Vein Yode Ezamehen Gazal Ze Omer Osi Gazal. Ze Omer Osi Gazal. You stole from one of five people. You don't know which guy it was that you stole from. They're all claiming to be the person. It's Mamish, sounds like Mamish, the same case. Except instead of two people, it's five people. But the same idea. You know you stole, and you just don't know which of these people it is. What do we do in that case? Maniach Gazel B'nei Mustalik Div Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, you take the $100 that you stole, put it down between them, and you leave it aside, and you leave. It's not your responsibility to pay everybody. Apparently, misafik, we're not going to make the guy pay the extra money. So why in our Mishnah do we make him pay both people that he might have stolen from the full amount? Over there are five people, and he just puts the $100 down, and he leaves. You can only ask a stira if you think that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Tarfon. Who told you that our Mishnah is Rabbi Tarfon? Says Gemara, "Diktani ala dahi moda Rabbi Tarfon b'omer l'shnayim gazalti le'echem michamana ve'en yodeh ez michem shnosim zemana l'zemana." Because we have a price that says on that Mishnah that Rabbi Tarfon agrees to exactly what it says in our Mishnah. So we know that Rabbi Tarfon holds this halacha in our Mishnah. Rabbi Tarfon says the halacha in our Mishnah. So how can he say it? How can Rabbi Tarfon on the one hand say that when there are two people and you don't know which one you stole from, you got to pay them both? When there are five people you don't know which one you stole from, you don't have to pay, you just put down the money and you let it be. So says Mar Hasam de Katavile, Hacha Balatze Sidei Shemayim. Over there we're talking about what the din is. They're all claiming the money from you. Min ha-din, what do you have to do? Put down the $100, let them deal with it. Over here we're talking about Balatze Sidei Shemayim. You want to do tshuva. You want to make sure that you have a clear conscience that you've done everything right. So that you have to pay back everybody. It says in our Mishnah that the reason you're giving it is shahodu mipiatzmo. Why does the Mishnah add that phrase? That you admit it on your own. Because the Mishnah is dafka trying to highlight that you're trying to be latzei yidei shamayim. So that's why it says shahodu mipiatzmo. Amar mar. So we had just said that hasan de katavile, that over there they're making claims against him. And what's his response to these claims? So I mean, five people are claiming that he owes them, that he stole $100 from them. What did he respond? Rav Yidam Rav halas shosek. Rav Yidam Rav says he was quiet. He didn't say anything. Rav Masna Amarav halat savach. That he cried out. He said, "No." He says, "Each one. I don't know. I don't know you. I don't know if I stole from you. I have no recognition. I ain't makircha." As Rashi says, "Madiam ralat savach." One that says that he has to say that I don't know you. If that's the case, would say avul shtika koda. That if he was quiet when each guy claims the money from him, so that would be considered kahoda. That would be considered like he's admitting that he owes the money. Umandiam ralat shosik. But the one that says that he's shosik, shtika da chalav koda hu. This is not considered a case of shtika koda because matziyamalei. The reason I was shosik is I was trying to sort things out. I know I stole from somebody, so each guy that comes to me claiming $100, I'm like looking at him, trying to figure out, is this guy that I stole from? Is that the guy that sometimes shtika is not kodah, it's just yag l'chach m'shtika. You know, that you don't want to say anything that's going to be incriminating until you can figure it out, so you're just trying to sort out what actually happened. So it's not necessarily a place where you're going to say shtika kodah. The Rush points out that you know, if the guy is just taking a minute to figure things out, then everyone would agree you're not going to say shtik kodah. I mean, it can't be that the second someone makes a claim, if you don't immediately, if you don't immediately shoot from the hip, you don't immediately respond, then right away we say, ah, shtik kodah, how come it took you 2 seconds to respond? It has to be that we give a person some time to think about what's actually going on. So this is just an extreme version, because over here, this person is taking more than some time to think about it, but it's because he doesn't know who he stole from. So maybe we don't say shtika koda over here. Amar mar, maniach kezele b'neu mestalik v'shakla kulu v'azli. So says the Gemara, you're maniach kezele m'b'neu and you leave. So what's going to happen? They're all going to take it. They're all going to try to get a piece of it, and that's how it's going to end. V'amar avar v'zivda amrav kol safik yinuach l'chachil lo yital v'natol lo yachzir. But didn't we learn halacha by Hashavas Aveda that if you're not sure if this item is really an Aveda, maybe someone actually put it here to keep it safe. So don't take it. You're not supposed to pick it up because maybe it was put here to keep it safe. But if you did take it, then lo yachzir. Don't return it to the first guy who comes and claims that it's his. Because you might, if you have something that's a suffix, you can't just let it out of your sight and let it out of your possession. The first guy that claims that it's his might not be the owner. The real owner might come with Aidim that it's his, and he doesn't want you giving it to just anybody. So why over here do we let you just put it down, mi b'nehem, and then everyone's going to have a shot at it? We should say you can't let it out of your possession. Maybe the real owner will come with some sort of proof. Some Rav Safra v'yaniyah. Rav Safra says v'yaniach. Says Rashi. What does that mean? When we say mistalek, it doesn't mean just leave it there for them to take. It means you leave it in Beis Din. Then Beis Din will have to figure out until Beis Din figures out who it actually belongs to. It stays untouched in Beis Din. Amle Abai L'Rava, Miyam Rabbi Akiva, Lozo Adarach. So now we're going to ask a student, Rabbi Akiva. Does Rabbi Akiva really say Lozo Adarach, Mosasim Idei Avera, Achi Yishalim Gezela L'Kol Chad V'Chad, Alma Misveika Mafkin Mona? Rabbi Akiva says that you're not going to, that you have to pay the Gezela teach and every person. So apparently for a Suffolk, we're Mafkin Mona. We'll take away money for the case of a Suffolk. V'lo Amrin an Oki Mona B'chaskos Mare. And we don't say that just leave the money in the chazaka of whoever had it. So Rmini, but I'll ask you a stira, nafala bayis alav alimo, if a son and a mother are in a house together and the house caves in and we find them both dead, but we don't know who died first. And there are big nafkaminas who died first, because the first yoresh of the mother is the son. Then we move on to further relatives. So if the mother died first, the son yarshined his mother, and then the son's children will yarshin all of that money. But if the son died first, the son never yarshined his mother. So the secondary yarshim of the mother are going to be entitled to the Yerusha of the mother. So Yorshe ben Omrma Emesa Rishona. The Yorshe ben, in their own interest, say that the mother died first. Yorshe Em Omrma Ben Mes Rishon. And the Yorshe Em say the son died first. Elu Ve'elu Modum Sheach Loku. So everyone agrees that you split it. Vamri Rabbi Kiva, Moda Ani Bezu Shanachasam Bechaskasan. And Rabbi Kiva says that in this case, I am Moda, that it's Nechasam Bechaskasan. So Rabbi Kiva also holds that if there's a suffix in the Mammon, we leave the Mammon Bechaskas Bailav, not like the case of Safik Gezela, where he said you just pay it to everybody. So it's a steer in Rabbi Akiva. What Nechas Mechas Kasan means is a machlokas in the Gemara, but it definitely doesn't mean you just pay it out to everybody. It stays in some sort of chazaka. Amalei Hasam Shema V'Shema, Gazalechem Nechamisha Bari V'Shema. That's the case, no one knows who died first. But in the case where you stole from one of five people, it's a Bari V'Shema. Each guy is claiming with a tiny Bari. Aiva Masis and Dacham Lashem Gazalti Lechem Nechamana, the Shema V'Shema Hu, V'Ktani Nosan Zemana L'Zemana. But in our Mishnah, no one knows for sure who he stole from, and you're still paying it to everybody. You can't ask a steer in our Mishnah. How do you know our Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva? No, I do know it's Rabbi Akiva. Diktani aladahi moda Rabbi Tarfon. It says that Rabbi Tarfon is moda to the halacha in our Mishnah. When it says he's moda, it sounds like Rabbi Tarfon is agreeing to somebody else who also holds the halacha in the Mishnah. Leman moda Rabbi Akiva. Bar plukted. Who's he being moda to? Rabbi Akiva, the guy he always argues with. And over here, he's not arguing. He's saying that I agree with you, Rabbi Akiva. So it's a steer in Rabbi Akiva. Akiva, that even though in the case of Shema B'Shema, in our Mishnah, you're paying it out to everybody, how do I know that it's Shema B'Shema in our Mishnah? First of all, it doesn't say that anyone made any claims against him. And Rabbi Chiyah explained that the case is each guy saying he doesn't know. So, can't ask Kash from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about where the guy is trying to be Latzei Sidei Shemayim. So that's why you're paying everybody. But in Halacha, he's not going to have to pay everybody. Amli Ravina Ravashi, Umiya Marava Kol B'Shtei Krichos, Havalei LeMedak, going back to that issue, does Rava say that whenever you're given two separate packages, you have to keep careful track of who gave you what? Vama Rava Vitem Rav Papa, Kol Mod M'Shneim Shev Kidu Eitzel Roe, Sheminiach Roe B'Nei Mestalek, if two people were mafkid an animal by a roa, and he doesn't know who gave him what, and that's clearly like two packages, because each animal is independent, so the roa could just leave it between them and be mistalik and let it be. So apparently we don't blame the roa for not knowing who gave him what. Says Mer, no. That was about where the roa had no way to know, because he stuck it there without telling him, without letting him know at the time that you gave it to him. So over there he's not responsible. But generally, when you're given two packages, a person is responsible to know who gave him what. Okay, but Shem will pick up at the two dots tomorrow. Oh, yeah.